In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. What do you call your church? In my family, when I was growing up, people would often refer to the churches by the name of the pastor. They would say that that was Pastor Evans' church or that that was Pastor Bragg's church instead of using the church's real name. I don't need to tell you this isn't Pastor Ash's church. When I was in central Pennsylvania, there were a lot of churches that were named after people. Usually the person that gave the most money to build the church when it was founded. There were lots of churches with names like Botts or Neiman's. Does it strike you as strange that a church would be named after a person rather than after our God or something related directly to God? Does any person deserve more recognition than our God? Our church is named for the Holy Trinity. I like that. That's appropriate. The church is about God, not the pastors, and not even the good stewards who built it. But all sorts of strange but true things happen in churches in regards to feelings of ownership or control. I'll give you a couple examples. Years ago, one afternoon, there was a knock at my office door. It was someone I had never met. She told me that she and her family had been members of that congregation many years ago, years before I arrived. Her family had given a memorial to the church in memory of her mother when her mother died several years ago, and now they wanted that memorial back. That struck me as strange. When you give something away, it's no longer yours. When you give something to the church, it belongs to God. Would you really want to take back a gift that you gave to Jesus? An older pastor told me that back in the days before offering envelopes, the church treasurer of that place would stand in the balcony and look down and watch what people put in the offering plate. Imagine that. That same church had a tradition that each Sunday someone would donate chancel flowers in honor of a loved one. Not infrequently, the treasurer's wife would call the church secretary during the week to donate flowers. If the secretary told her that someone had already reserved that Sunday, she would say, "Take their name off. We're better members than they are. We give more money than they do." Apparently, these people believed in the golden rule. Not Jesus' golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. They believed in the world's golden rule. That is, the person with the gold gets to make the rules. I tell these ridiculous stories only because I'm trying to get at the mindset of Martha in today's gospel reading. What's behind her comment to Jesus about Mary not helping her? What is she really trying to say? It's both sad and silly. Apparently, Martha wasn't getting the recognition that she felt she deserved, which is far from a mature Christian attitude. She feels that she's working hard, in a sense, she's giving more, and she thinks she deserves some special attention for it. Perhaps she thinks that Jesus owes her something for what she's doing. But does Jesus really owe anyone anything? No, he doesn't owe us anything, nothing at all. We owe everything to Christ, our works, our ability to work, our very existence so that we can have the ability to work, all come from him. We cannot take credit for our own achievements. What could we do for Jesus that he couldn't do for himself? Nothing. Still, we often act as if he's indebted to us. Jesus owes me big time, and I'm going to make him pay. The essential teaching of the church is that we cannot earn salvation by our good works, nor can we buy it with our money. If we could do enough good things to save ourselves, then Jesus would have never had to die on the cross for our forgiveness. And if forgiveness could be bought or sold, then Luther and the Reformers would not have had to protest against the sale of indulgences. Another essential teaching of our church is that we are all created equal. Our faith tells us that we are all equally sinners before God and that we are all equally forgiven by Christ. There should be no ranking in the church as to who is more or less important. Now, we appreciate what our people do, but we all just get one vote. No human being owns the church. It belongs to Jesus Christ. The person with the gold doesn't get to make the rules. Christ does. Jesus had some interesting things to say about our good works. In the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about those who do good works only to be seen by others and impress them. He says that God doesn't reward that. Those people have already gotten all the reward they're going to get. Jesus says that instead we should do our good works in secret, where only God knows what we have done. When we give alms to the poor, he says, even our right hand shouldn't know what our left hand is doing. In another place, Jesus tells a parable about servants who are minding their master's business while the master is away. Jesus says, when the master returns, should those servants expect to be praised for what they've done? No, they should say we've only been doing what was expected of us. Now that might sound a little bit harsh on Jesus' part, but again, what does God owe anyone for their service? Who has done more for God than God has done for them? It is so sad that Martha missed the point. There's Mary, sitting with Jesus, listening to him, soaking up his teaching, taking in his wisdom, and there's Martha, worrying about if the tablecloth is straight and if the silverware is set properly. If Jesus really cared about how the food was cooking or how the table was set, he would have said something to Mary about it, but he didn't. It wasn't important to Jesus at all. His mind was on bigger things, and Mary was right there where she ought to be, which is where Martha should have been too. Look at it this way. Think about someone you loved who died. I'm thinking about my mother. What would you give to be with that person again, even if for just one day? If you could be with them, you certainly would not spend that day cooking and cleaning. I'm sure of that. When Jesus died and then rose and ascended, don't you think Martha would have given anything to be with Jesus again? Just to listen to him, just to sit with him, regardless of whether her house was perfect or not. Maybe Martha was not so much working to please Jesus, but really to please herself. Jesus didn't want all the preparations to be perfect. Martha did. And Martha wanted everyone to know what she had done. She certainly made sure that Jesus knew. In 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul writes about other apostles and evangelists who flaunt their resumes. The ones who tell everyone how hard they work, about all the places they've been, how many souls they've won for Christ. Paul knows that he outshines them all, but he doesn't boast about himself. He boasts only about Christ. But who do we know was the premier evangelist of the church? Paul or one of those people that was tooting his own horn? We know it was Paul. In his time, God glorified him because Paul first glorified God. Perhaps that old Protestant worth ethic doesn't serve us so well when it comes to matters of the Spirit. Working hard is good. Serving is good. It's necessary. But sometimes we feel like we have to constantly be doing something, anything, or that we're slacking off. Someone quipped, "Jesus is coming. Look busy." But not all work is progress. Bad works are works worse than no works at all. We've been taught, just don't stand there, do something. But just anything isn't always the right thing to do. Sometimes it is best to don't do anything, just stand there. Especially when standing there, we are listening to and learning from Christ. If we get the spiritual aspects of life right first, if we allow the Holy Spirit to form the mind of Christ within us, then the correct gospel actions just naturally flow out of us. Sometimes we need to read the scriptures and pray and think on God's word, which is the modern day equivalent of what Mary did by sitting at Jesus' feet. All this thinking about recognition and competition for status among Christians was just so beautifully put into perspective for me several years ago, at a vacation Bible school. I think as you've probably done here at Trinity, we would have the opening gatherings and the worship services and the closings in the sanctuary, and we would move the hymnals out so that they didn't get tossed and jostled and ripped and all that sort of thing. Well, it was the very last night. The closing ceremony was over, and there was a young girl, 8, 9 years old, who was putting the hymnals back into the pews. And I thanked her for doing that. And she said, "You don't have to thank me. I volunteered to be a helper. I'm supposed to help." Wow. That is the very best of Mary and Martha all rolled into one. Humble service grounded in the love of Christ. Don't you just wish that you could clone that attitude and have it everywhere? Let's all be God's humble servants and faithful learners. Amen.